number 70, Braden Holtby.
Maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
And Beverly draws back as if to hit Holtby with his stick.
Maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
Oh, and it didn't go!
Takes a lot to change a man. It takes a lot to try. Maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure on you as well.
Nobody knows what awaits for the dead.
I usually just close my eyes, hope for the best.
Nobody knows what awaits for the dead.
Oh my goodness, what a save by Braden.
Some folks just believe in the things they've heard and the things they've read. Nobody knows what awaits for the dead.
Incredible stop by Braden Holtby.
I'm glad I can't go back to where I came from.
What about the cup holders?
I'm glad those days are gone, gone for good.
They gotta be really big.
If I could take spirits from my past and bring them here, no, I would, no, I would.
Every time I drive on Constitution for the rest of my life, I'm gonna remember this day.
You ready?
Hey, Caps fans.
On your knees, dog.
Henrik Lundqvist here. I just want to say I'm very excited to join Washington Capitals.
Bow down to the, bow down to the game.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, like you just heard in that intro, it is true. The Holt Beast has left DC. Holtby is going out west and playing for Vancouver. And we have a new king coming to DC in Henrik Lundqvist. Everybody saw that coming, but it is official. Henrik Lundqvist is officially a Washington Capital, and Braden Holtby is a Vancouver Canuck. Things are changing, but one thing that stays the same, Coach Dan, he's joining us to talk all about it. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, man?
I'm feeling good. I'm can't believe all the things that have happened in the NHL in the last couple days. We've seen so many different moves, and I was expecting, you know, noon on Friday to see like boom, 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 all this stuff is happening, but it actually took a little bit of time to get everything out there. There was a lot of rumors that Holtby was actually going to Edmonton and not Vancouver, and then things got moved around. So what did you think about the start to free agency? Was there anything that kind of shocked you or things that you're happy that you've seen? What are your thoughts?
I thought that the timeline for it made a lot of sense. I think it took a little longer than everyone expecting it kind of at first. I think we all kind of thought it was going to be a between 12 and like 12-15, there's gonna be a ton of deals, and there weren't as many, especially with the bigger names and all the goalies that were on the market, and those didn't go quite as fast as everyone expected. But I think everything worked out perfectly fine. I wasn't overly surprised with a lot of the deals on the first day. I think Holtby going to Vancouver was a bit of a surprise, but I mean, he had to go somewhere and he wasn't coming back to DC. I think, was it Ryan had retweeted something, I think it was from like Bob McKenzie or somewhere, saying that Calgary or Edmonton were in on Holtby. And I don't think that was a surprise. I think the expectation was that he was going to go not necessarily out west, but to one of the Alberta teams just because of their need for a goalie. He's from that area. It just kind of, or from that part of Canada, it just kind of made sense. Vancouver was a shock to some extent for me. I always kind of expected them to go with Markstrom, to bring him back, or to go with someone that could be an understudy and mentor Demko, and maybe not be a guy who's necessarily still wants to be that number one. And when I saw that he signed with them, I was like, oh, I get to hang out with Beegs again. And they go hang out. And then, you know, he signed with them, and it was a 2-year deal, which I was a little bit surprised on. The pandemic definitely has affected his intake and his contract, as well as, I mean, there's a number of factors, from the kid goalie up there in Thatcher Demko, with the cap staying where it's at, and the reality of Seattle coming in. I mean, I think this was almost the perfect situation for Vancouver, where they got a goalie that can come in, he can split time, he can mentor the young guy, and then they can leave him exposed where he likely will get picked up by Seattle. And if he doesn't, they only have him for another year. And the cap, it was, I don't remember, 4 point something, which is not bad at all for a guy who's definitely a starter. Even if his stats have been trending downwards over the last couple seasons, he still is definitely a starter in this league. And so I think it was a great deal for the Canucks. I don't think it puts them necessarily in a bad spot going forward, especially because it's only 2 years.
And what do you think about Henrik Lundqvist coming to town? I mean, we were talking about it last week. I was talking about it 2 weeks.
I didn't get that text from you on, what was that, on Monday? Was it Monday? Friday? What day?
Friday. On Friday. Friday. Yeah.
On Friday, I was expecting that text from you, and I got nothing. I was like, is he okay?
Well, I was busy. I was working. It's that's show day. So I had things going on. But my producer was actually really great. And he was like, all right, when's it all start? And I'm like, right around noon. He goes, are you really thinking to get that goalie? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. Like, he doesn't follow hockey that much, but he knows like the big names. So like, I guess it was 1 o'clock. I was rendering some piece of footage, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm like, they got him. And I'm like, oh wow. 1.5 million. I thought that was a great price point for Henrik Lundqvist, the king, one of the best goaltenders ever. What do you think of this deal for the Caps? 1 year, 1.5 million for Henrik Lundqvist. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a great deal. You need a veteran goalie that can come in and backstop him, and you don't have a lot of salary cap space, so you need someone who's going to be cheap. And the fact that he got bought out by the Rangers means he's getting a bunch of money already coming in, so he wasn't necessarily looking for a big payday. He's a guy who wants to go and he wants to win. He wants to hoist the cup, and he thinks he has a really good opportunity here in DC, and I hope he's right. And the fact that it's only 1 year, 1.5, means that doesn't hamper Samsonov going forward, provided he shows that he's ready to be your number one. So if Samsonov comes in and does an amazing job and he's your number one, that's the reality of the situation. They can still split time, but you're likely seeing maybe a 2/3 to 1/3 Samsonov playing versus Lundqvist. Or if Samsonov's not ready, be it by his injury or his just play in general, Lundqvist can step in and be your number one guy. You know, and he's not that Henrik Lundqvist that we're all thinking of the Rangers from when he was a bit younger, but he's still an outstanding goalie. I believe his stats were better this past season than Holpe's. So if anything, it's the Capitals have gotten better in goal for less money. Now, Samsonov's going to need a new deal, I believe, after this season. So that's going to be an interesting development going into next year, depending on as well as that guy named Alex something. They're going to need new deals. So they certainly have some money to play with. Or will need some money to play with next season. So signing him to a 1-year deal was perfect. Only 1.5. If it turns out he wants to come back after this, everything goes well, and he wants to come back next year, it's still going to have to be on the cheap. But I think it makes sense. I think it was a perfect deal. I think it's a little weird that they have him. But, you know, it's just weird to hear him say he's excited to be with the Capitals or be in Washington. Because you just hear his name and you automatically think of the Rangers. But that's just kind of the reality of sports. And, you know, a guy that was so closely connected with the Capitals and Caps fans in the area because of all of his work, he's now out in Vancouver. And they brought in, as you said, the king.
I mean, this definitely, I think this does make the team better. And I think this is a win-win situation for everybody. It's 1 year, $1.5 million. Like you said, he's still getting paid by the Rangers, but he's got 1 year here. This guy wants to win a cup. He's 38 years old. I mean, being a goaltender is one of the toughest jobs in hockey. You're facing a lot of shots. He's not facing Ovechkin's shot anymore, which he's got to be happy about. And he wants a cup. I think he knows this is the best chance to get it because you have a superstar like Alexander Ovechkin on the team. You know, Ovi wants another cup. So this is a win-win for everybody. And this is a huge win for Samsonov. You had Braden Holtby kind of as the number one last year. You got to learn from him some of the things he can do. Now you've got Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, Samsonov, if he's, you know, like kind of like a sponge and can soak up all this information from two of the best goaltenders ever, he's going to be unstoppable after this year if he can do that. So just stay off an ATV. Don't do that anymore. But this is going to be a fun year of hockey to watch, and I'm so happy to see Lundqvist back, or not back. I'm happy to see Lundqvist in a Caps jersey. It's somebody I've always wanted to see in a Caps jersey. I can't believe it's actually happening. That's the biggest shocker of them all. Who are some of the other Caps some of the other players that have become Caps now from free agency?
Well, I think we went into the free agent market knowing there needed to be some additions. We knew Radko Gudas was leaving. He ended up signing with Florida. You know, we knew that Travis Boyd was likely going. You know, there's a chance he could come back, but he's likely going. He was off to Toronto. We did know that Tyler Lewington was going to leave, but he's off to Nashville. So we'll see how that works out for him. But we knew the Caps were in the market for a defenseman, and I think I talked about I thought they were in the market for a bottom six forward, which they haven't signed yet, but I still think they're in the market for one. And they're going to have to free up some cap space, so we'll see how that, you know, they could move out a defenseman to get a top a bottom six forward. So that still remains a piece they need to pick up. And so, but I was surprised that the Caps went out and they signed. It wasn't who I expected. There was talk of Sami Vatanen, who I think is still on the market. There was, who is the other guy that people were talking about? I can't remember the other player that people were talking about the Caps potentially looking at. It definitely wasn't Alex Petrangelo or Torrey Krug. We'll talk about those in around the NHL. But the Caps actually went out and they signed Justin Schultz, formerly of the Penguins, to a two-year, $8 million deal. So that's a $4 million cap hit. He slides in very nicely on the second pairing. There's some talk that he could end up being with, because I believe he's a right-handed defenseman, so let me double-check that as we talk. But I believe there was talk of him either being with Brendan Dillon or with Orlov. I need to double-check these to make sure that I didn't just get the lines completely botched. I know I sent them to you, and you weren't overly thrilled, but I like the signing of Schultz. You know, it's not a lot of time, so if it doesn't work out, you're only stuck for a season or two. The amount of money is a little high, but I think that when you're signing a guy to a short-term deal, you're going to have to raise the amount of money you're giving him because he has less security. And then I think it does – the defense is better than what we saw in the past, especially with Michael Kempney out. So – and not that Kempney had necessarily had the greatest of – seasons. But I'm not overly concerned. I think based on, you know, we'll see what the coaching staff ends up being. You know, if it's the same thing, I trust that Laviolette and McClellan have the guys they want. And if it's different, if it's new guys, we'll see how that goes. But I like the signing. I know you were a little more hesitant.
I think I was just hesitant because it's $8 million over 2 years. I don't know if he's a player that's worth $4 million a year. That seems like a big price tag for not a number one pairing defenseman.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends. It's some of it's the market, some of it's the reality of what you need. I mean, they're paying 5.1 to Dmitry Orlov to not be a number one defenseman. So
we know my feelings there.
But I think you're gonna have. I'm trying to find the one that I texted you. Of the lineups, there it is. So this is from Tarik El-Bashir, who writes for The Athletic. Dylan Carlson, left, right, Orlov, Schultz. This thing says Orlov's a right-handed. Is he a righty or a lefty? I can't remember. Anyways,
I'm gonna be calling this guy Jeff Schultz the entire time. By the way,
well, the fact that both their first names start with, like, everyone wants him to wear 55.
Yeah.
So that the five people that have Jeff Schultz jerseys or the four people that have his jersey can bust those back out. I don't know if I've seen what number he's going to wear, nor do I necessarily care what number he's going to. I don't care. I didn't have a Jeff Schultz shirt or jersey, and as I showed you before, I have plenty of jerseys. I can't see. He's a lefty, so Cap Friendly has it backwards. So yeah, it would be Orlov, Schultz, and then even though he's still a restricted free agent and they need a new deal, it sounds like one will be coming soon. Siegenthaler and Jensen, or you could see someone like Trevor Van Riemsdyk, formerly of the Carolina Hurricanes, I believe. 1 year, $8,000 deal. It's cheap. It's only for 1 year. If it works out, great. If not, he's your seventh defenseman. Or he's playing in the minors, or you've traded him, or he's cut, or just, you know, whatever. But I don't think they're going to cut him. But I think it's a great deal, because if it works out, it's a low-risk, high-reward move, similar to Lundqvist, in the sense that if it works out, fantastic. If it doesn't, it didn't cost you much, so it's not really that big a deal, and they're only one-year deals. So if it doesn't work, you can be like, see ya, after the season. Kind of like they did with Ilya Kovalchuk. They traded for him, he was at the end of his contract, didn't work out, see ya.
Did he sign anywhere?
Not yet.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see if he does, because it sounded like Montreal really wanted him back, and then towards the end of the season, they're like, never mind.
Yeah, they saw him in the bubble, and they're like, oh, right, that guy. Yeah, he hasn't done anything.
He could still go back, but they've made some interesting moves as well. And then the Caps are also really high on Favari, so it'll be interesting to see how that works out. They also signed defenseman Paul Ledoux, who for some reason, whenever I see his name, reminds me of Tom Pody. I don't know why, but it does. Maybe it's because they're both just kind of short names. It sounds like, I think I was reading an article from Tark, who was saying that he has, you know, an opportunity to make the roster. Maybe he's a seventh defenseman if someone goes down or if they move someone else out. But I expect him to be in Hershey, hanging out likely with defenseman Cameron Schilling, who's come back to the organization. He signed a one-year $7,000 deal, and forward Daniel Carr, who played for Laviolette last year in Nashville a little bit. He has an opportunity to potentially make this Caps roster. He also signed a one-year $7,000 deal. Those are all NHL numbers. I know they get paid less at the AHL level, which is absurd, the disparity, but I get it. You know, they've made some good moves. I don't think they're done yet. They could likely be done in the free agent market, but I don't think they're necessarily done making moves. I don't think they're settled on this bottom six. I was reading an article, I think it was also from Tark, on The Athletic this morning, that had sort of the depth chart and how much it hasn't changed from last season to what likely will be this season. I mean, you're going to see Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and top line Tom, hopefully not injuring or doing anything he's not supposed to do. You're going to see Vrana, if he actually decides to show up, Backstrom and Oshie until he's off to Seattle. You're going to see, I'm trying to get a rise out of you and it didn't work. you're going to see Haglin, Eller, and Panik.
That line right there. So here's the thing.
With a new coach coming in, let's see how they do. Because you have a new coach, you have potentially new assistants, but you at least have, I mean, we know you have one new assistant because was it Blaine Forsythe's offensive coach in college? I think he's going to be the head coach of somewhere. And then, you know, you have the fourth line, and there's one out there of Daniel Sprong. I can't think of anybody's name right now. I'm not used to recording during the daytime. Sprong, Dowd, and Hathaway. And I'm looking at that going, based on last season, I'm not overly thrilled with the bottom six. I'm not seeing a lot of offensive production coming from those guys. And so I'm wondering, you know, are they going to make a move and try and bring in someone for the third line on the right wing if you move out Panik? You know, because Panik got bumped down to the fourth line when they brought in Kovalchuk. Or do they go and try and bring in someone for the fourth line if they don't feel like Sprong is their guy, but they need more offensive production from the bottom six, and then we haven't seen them do that in the free agent market. They've improved the defense, definitely. I think the defense has definitely improved from last year. I don't feel like the offense is necessarily different from last year, where it's going to be a lot of it's going to rely on the top six guys, which, as we saw during the cup run, the bottom six contributed. I mean, the biggest goal potentially in Caps history, biggest two goals in Caps history, tying it up from Devontae Smith-Pelly, bottom six, and the game winner from Eller, who can play on top six, but is a bottom six forward or a center. He's a third line center, you know? So I think they definitely need to go out and make some moves. There's one guy I haven't mentioned, which is Connor McMichael. He could come in. It'll, you know, be interesting to see what his preseason is like, to see how he does, whenever the preseason may be. And then we'll go from there. But I think they're not done. I think there's a trade potentially coming. One, because they need to free up some cap space. But then two, because I think they're potentially, like, not potentially, I think they are wanting to look for a bottom six forward that can come in and produce offensively. And maybe that's McMichael. But then I think you need to get rid of Panik, because his deal of, like, what's Panik making?
Too much is what he's making.
Well, he could play better under Laviolette, but 2.75 for a fourth line winger, that's a bit much. I don't like that. So we'll see what happens.
See, I like Eller on the third line. I think he's a good center. I don't like it when they move him up. Like when Backstrom got hurt in the cup run, Eller moved up. He didn't handle it well. So,
well, who would you do? You have to be prepared for injuries. Backstrom seems like,
right, like Eller's fine for a stint on the second line, but I don't want to see him as a full, like, if Backstrom's out for 40 games, you're going to have to find somebody else.
If he's out long-term injury reserve, I guess you could trade for someone, because that's a nice chunk of change that's going to be coming off the salary cap. That's almost $10 million
that
you suddenly have to play with. Now you'll have to deal with that when they come back, theoretically, knock on wood, he doesn't get hurt. But if he did. But no, I agree with you. I don't think Eller is long-term for that spot, but we have a new coaching staff, or at least a new head coach, so it'll be interesting to see what he can get out of some of these guys.
Hagelin and Ponick, though, I have not been impressed with either of them the entire last season. Hagelin, I thought when he first came from the Kings, he had something to prove, and he looked really good, but it's not there for him anymore. It's just, I have not been impressed with what he's been able to do. And the fourth line, I mean, ever since Jay Beagle left, there's been no kind of magic whatsoever in the fourth line whatsoever.
I like Dowd. His name is not as much fun as Beagle's.
Dowd and Hathaway, they're both fine, but I'm not blown away by them. You know, they're not
offensive dynamos.
Right. Right. So, I mean, as penalty killers, sure, have them out there. That's fine. But they're not dynamic players like Jay Beagle was.
Well, let's not go crazy.
Or even like Matt Hendricks. Like Matt Hendricks, you could have out there and do a shootout and do some great things, and you could always count on him to get a goal. I don't have a lot of faith in these. I feel like they're very one-dimensional players.
I mean, to some extent, but they are very good on the PK.
Yes, absolutely.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, Hagelin, I kind of wonder if he would have had a better season next year if he had someone on the right wing that could put the puck in the net. You know, he came away with 25 points after 8 goals, 17 assists. I'd like to see those numbers go up a little bit. But, you know, I'd be curious to see if Ponick can do better, or whoever's playing on that right wing that can help put the puck in the net, up each other's numbers kind of thing. I mean, Ponick came with 22, 9, and 13. I feel like for that kind of money, those numbers need to be better. So I don't think the roster is set yet. If this is the team they go into next season with, which I feel is a bit of, we don't really know what it looks like because of McMichael. And we could always have a surprise young guy that comes in. We'll see what happens. But I don't think this is a team that necessarily can make a long, but a lot can change based on the new coach.
Absolutely. And that was going to be my next question for you about whether or not this team was set in stone, because I said in the last show we were going to get Lundqvist, we were going to get a defenseman, and we were going to get a bottom six forward. Now, we do have the defenseman that got picked up. We do have a goalie that got picked up. But did they not go after a bottom six guy because they are happy with what they've seen in Hershey and they're expecting a couple guys to make the jump up? Or do you think they're still out there looking for more talent?
Well, I'm sure they're out there looking for someone. I mean, I think if they were going to sign a free agent for the bottom six, they probably would have done it by now. I think some of it might be the lack of salary cap space. I mean, Cap Friendly currently has the Caps with $0 in cap space. They're actually over the cap. However, they do still have Michael Kempney still on the roster. So what they need to take put him on long-term injured reserve. So they should have about $2 million left, $2.3 million left to play with, something right around there, 2.25 maybe. To play with, which could definitely get you a bottom six forward. But if you make a trade, like let's say you move out a Ponick or even a Dmitry Orlov, then you have more money to play with, but it depends on what you're bringing in. You know, if you move out Ponick, who doesn't have the best of stats, you're likely, I wouldn't anticipate, maybe you're getting a player that's kind of in the same situation where it's just a bad fit. So that's still a risk even of itself, but maybe he's only got 1 year left on his deal or 2 years left on his deal. Ponick still has, this is next season. Ponick still has 3. So I don't think they're done, but I don't know what I don't know what it's going to look like. This could be the team they go into the season with, but there's, you know, I think two big questions as to what this roster will look like or how this roster, the way it looks, will do. And that is Peter Laviolette and Connor McMichael.
Those are big question marks. And, man, if you're Laviolette, you've got to be, you know, jumping for joy. You've got Alex Ovechkin on your offense, and you've got Henrik Lundqvist in your net. I mean, those are two superstars. Both have been on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. So,
well, that's the important characteristic right there in alone.
Right. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Oh, there was two things. We actually missed one last week, and then there was two former Capitals that retired. Last week, we forgot to talk about Matt Niskanen, who announced his retirement. I think he's only like 32 or 33.
That was a little surprising.
So that one caught me off guard. The other one was Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams. He announced his retirement.
Crazy hair.
He did have some crazy hair at times. You know, he had a great career. He had a good time here in Washington. He definitely will be remembered fondly, even if he did go to Carolina afterwards. But, you know, both of them, you know, have won a cup. Niskanen had meant a lot to this organization in terms of helping to bring the cup to D.C. I think injuries kind of did him in the last year that he was with the Caps. And it made sense to move him on. It would have been nice if we got something more than Radko Gudas, but I think it was a salary cap dump, so it was what it was. But congrats to them on both great careers.
Yeah, I was surprised about Niski hanging it up. That was, like you said, he's kind of young, but maybe the injuries have caught up with him. But really crazy. Is that three former Capitals this offseason? We had Mike Green, Niskanen, and Justin Williams. They all retired this offseason, right?
Yeah, Green was much earlier. Green just with all the injuries.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up Niskanen right now because I know he said something about how...
I would retire to get out of Philadelphia as well. I mean, I get it.
I believe he made a comment. It might have something to do with like just the bubble and everything going on. He just wasn't up for it.
Yeah.
Which sounds meaner than I intended. But they had great careers. And the fact that, you know, he can move on and do something else, it doesn't mean he's necessarily getting out of hockey. You know, he could always move into a coaching role or scouting or something like that. But
yeah.
Who knows? I'm sure he's made enough money to, at this point, be able to sit back and relax.
He can tag team with Orpik for the Caps.
Caps have a couple guys, I believe, still with the organization that used to play. I think, isn't Sutherby a scout?
Bradley is. We know that.
I'm trying to go and see if they still have all those guys in the staff directory. Let's see if they still... Hello? Oh, my God. There's so many different, like, scouting staff. There we go. Orpik... is player development. Let's see. Bradley's a scout. Sutherby's a scout. Didn't
Knubel was for a little bit, right?
No, I don't think he's with them. There was someone else who was a scout, but now I can't remember who it was. That was from years past. I can't remember. And like Holzig, he's a development coach. So you know, you have guys with connections, and if Niskanen was interested in something and they had something available, I mean, right now it might be a little bit tough to bring in more guys just based on everything going on and the likelihood of not having fans at this in arenas for the season, at least for most of the season. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with some of these guys in some of these positions and just the league in general. But in regards to Capitals news, I think that's pretty much everything. I mean, we'll see how the roster ends up. I have the free agent tracker open. Only one guy signed today, though. It's not even noon yet. And I don't think there's been any more trades today. That'll be annoying because I wrote my notes last night. But they haven't been involved. There was some talk that the Capitals are likely going to move a defenseman, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Well, I mean, we've talked about Dmitry Orlov potentially going somewhere.
But that's just us. Like, I don't think there's any speculation that he's going to go somewhere. I think that's just you and me being like, he makes a lot of money and they don't have a lot of cap space. And 2 + 2 = 4. So, like, this just makes sense. Because you're not moving Carlson. He's got a big cap hit, but it's John Carlson, so you're not moving him. You're not moving Justin Schultz because you just signed him. You're not moving Dylan because you just signed him. I feel like a great deal, by the way. Only $3.9 million. That's not that bad.
Right.
You're not moving Kempney because he's injured. Because I don't think you can move a guy who's on long-term injury reserve, and it would also be kind of a dick move. Jensen's a possibility, especially if they get into, you know, it's a little while from now, but if they get into camp and they really like what Van Riemsdyk brings, I could see them moving Jensen out. You know, you're not moving Van Riemsdyk, and you're not moving Siegenthaler because he's a young guy, and also it doesn't do any help because he would have a low cap in anyways. Part of the reason you make this trade is because you want to free up some cap space. I think it's Orlov or Ponik. That would be my guess. I think Hagelin is sort of like a possibility. If they can't move the other guys, they need to free up some cap space. Because I don't see it being anybody else on the forward core because they don't make enough they don't want to get rid of, or they're untradeable.
It kind of reminds me of that year that we let Marcus Johansson go because that was just kind of like a salary dump, and I don't think any of us really expected Marcus Johansson to go anywhere, and then you find out he's going to the Devils. So it might just be something like that where it's strictly just a money move.
But I think if they do that, they need to have a guy in mind to take over that spot. So, for example, if you move Ponik, who's taking the third line right wing, you don't have anyone on the roster that is can step into the spot. It could be McMichael, but we don't know that yet.
Right.
We don't have anyone that could potentially do that. Now, there was... Oh, I was just reading about this earlier. There's a guy who's one of the Black Aces. Oh, Sprong. He was one of the Black Aces that in the bubble that really impressed. And then you have a couple of young guys. I mean, you have... I don't know how to say any of their names. I think it's Alexi Protas. He's currently on loan. He's doing pretty well, it sounds like. You know, so you could have one of these guys that's on loan that comes back and is and suddenly shows his coaching staff, huh, maybe this guy can play in the NHL. You have a Beck Malmsteen, who I believe was one of the Black Aces. He also recently got engaged, so congratulations to him. I saw that on Hershey, I think, retweeted it, or just tweeted it. So there's a couple of guys that potentially could fill in, but I don't see them going necessarily onto the third line. So I think if you move a guy like Ponick as a salary cap dump, you better have someone in mind. That's a big hole you're going to have to fill. And if you get in towards the regular season and don't have that spot filled, you're overpaying to grab someone at the last minute before the season starts. Like when they move Johansson, I feel like they had someone in mind.
Who did they have in mind?
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look at the roster, to be honest. To be like, oh yeah, they moved Johansson. I can't remember. They signed somebody.
Was that DSP spot?
No. Because Johansson was a second line guy at that point. No. DSP was also not expensive. It was. They needed the cap space. They moved him out because they had someone in mind to take his spot. But I can't remember now. I'd have to go back and look. I can do that while you talk. See if I can remember what the idea was.
I think that's pretty much it, right? We got nothing else to talk about until we go around the NHL.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, while we try to figure that out, we're going to go over some trades. Caps did a good job with their free agency sign-ups and signees, I guess I should call them. And we'll see what happens next. So make sure you're sticking to our Facebook and Twitter accounts to see what the Caps are doing. But that's it for what's going on in Caps world. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Free agency was a busy day, weekend, couple days. I don't even know. But it's weird. It's October. We're talking about free agency, but the NHL stayed busy. Coach Stan, I'm going to just sit back, relax, let you take over now. Tell us all about the free agency signings.
Well, real quick, going back to Marcus Johansson. So it sounds like they moved him because they needed to sign Kuznetsov, who they signed to his big deal. They also needed to re-sign Philip Grubauer and Andrei Burakovsky at that point. They're both restricted free agents. So they had some moves to make, which is why...
And Kuzi's the only one left.
Yeah, but those all made... I mean, Burakovsky, I think they assigned him with the anticipation of him sticking around. We're going to talk about him in a minute, or at least mention him. And Grubauer was always going to be one that was going to come up and then make his way out. And you move him on for to be able to add more pieces to the organization because you had Holtby at the time. So let's start with some trades. And these are not necessarily in any particular order. They're just as I was reading. I got a lot of this information from TSN. So in a bit of a surprise move that creates a bit of the Vancouver Capitals, as people are talking about, Vegas sent Nate Schmidt to Vancouver for a 2022 third round pick. That was a salary dump to an extent by Vegas because they went and made a big signing, which we'll talk about in a moment. But yeah, we got Schmidt, Biegs, and Holtby all hanging out in Vancouver. And I was actually reading a piece on Schmidt's, I guess, press conference or his interview with all the local reporters and Canadian reporters. He's such a goof. Like at one point they were talking, I guess, to the reporters about you have to raise your hand in terms of when you want to ask your question or when it's your turn or whatever the case may be. And so Schmidt then raised his hand as just screwing around. So apparently his big thing he's like nervous about is being accepted in the Canucks locker room because he's a bit of a goofball. But I do miss Nate Schmidt to an extent because he was a goofy dude. And I liked him. I was really disappointed when they lost him.
Like his contract's almost up or?
No, he had recently signed a new deal.
Oh, wow.
I'm trying to go back. It was because they signed Pietrangelo, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Okay.
And they needed to free up some cap space and he had a pretty big cap hit. Schmidt, I went to the wrong team. I went to Vegas.
So there was no bad blood or anything about his suspension last year?
I think they supported him.
Okay.
So Schmidt has 5 years left on a $5.95 million. That's his cap hit, I should say. So he has a big cap hit. He's already 29. We're all getting so old. But no, I think this was a good move for Vancouver. I think it was a good move for Vegas because they went out and signed someone who are, you know, is better. I think both teams have improved. And Vancouver only gives up a third-round pick in 2022, so it's a good deal for them. The Islanders sent defenseman Devin Toews to Colorado for a 2021 second-round pick and a 2022 second-round pick. I always find the year interesting where they're like, we'll trade you one for a couple years down the line. Like, he's like, well, how are you going to know how good or bad they're going to be and where that pick's going to end up? I always find that a bit weird. Colorado sent defenseman Anton Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov to Chicago for forward Brandon Saad and defenseman Dennis Gilbert. And then Vegas wasn't done. They sent for this actually happened first. They sent forward Paul Stastny to Winnipeg for defenseman Carl Dahlstrom and a conditional 2022 fourth round pick. Anaheim sent defenseman Eric Goodbranson to Ottawa for a 2021 fifth round pick. And finally, forward Florida sent forward Cliff Poo to Columbus for defenseman Marcus Nutavara. All right, here comes free agency. Everybody sit back. It's going to take a minute. It's like 5 pages long. It's not actually that many. I just went kind of the names I recognize are the bigger ones, those that have bigger cap hits. Really, to get all the free agency and trade information, go to tsn.ca. They have a great free agent tracker and trade tracker that I have bookmarked and I like to follow on these sort of big movement days. So the big prize of this free agency was defenseman Alex Pietrangelo leaving St. Louis. Everybody kind of thought he was going to re-sign. That ended up not happening. He signed a 7-year, $61.6 million deal with Vegas, which that is a team that is always trying to make a big move. I almost feel like Vegas can never really be not good because they need it to work out there. But that was a big deal that I didn't expect coming, at least not with them. So Pietrangelo is off to Sin City. Other big name forward was Taylor Hall, who I'm not really sure if anyone knew where he was going to go. He shocked at least me, but I'm guessing everyone else by signing a 1-year, first of all, that was only 1 year, but $8 million deal with Buffalo.
Wow.
Did not see that coming. I can understand the move from the Sabres' point of view because Eichel sounds like he wants out and they want to convince him to stay because they've been losing a lot and they want to convince him to stay. So how do you do that better than sign him a right wing? And if it works out, they can sign him to a long-term deal and the Sabres are good again, you know, good for them. But it's a risk by Hall. But I think it's a sort of a low, not, I don't know if I can say it's a low risk, high reward, because if it goes poorly, Eichel's definitely going to want out. So Buffalo's going to be an interesting situation to watch. But some of the other notable signings were, and these are basically in the order of when they happened as I was scrolling up the TSN page. Toronto signed forward Wayne Simmonds to a 1-year deal worth $1.5 million. Detroit signed recently bought out forward Bobby Ryan to a 1-year, $1 million deal.
That's your boy. I was a little surprised you weren't mad he wasn't coming here.
No, not anymore. I wanted him back when he was good and was in Anaheim. That was my big thing I wanted to have happen and never happened. Minnesota signed goalie Cam Talbot to a 3-year, $11 million deal. Edmonton signed forward Kyle Turris to a 2-year, $3.3 million deal. Dallas re-signed goalie Anton Khudobin to a 3-year, $10 million. I'm actually a little surprised he didn't get a little more. Ottawa, who had traded originally for Matt Murray, they then signed him to a 4-year, $25 million contract. Florida signed forward Alexander Wenberg to 1-year, $2.25 million. Nashville signed defenseman Mark Borowiecki. I think that's how you say his name. 2 years, $4 million. Rangers signed, these are all total, not cap hits. Rangers signed defenseman Jack Johnson, formerly the Penguins, I believe he got bought out. 1 year, $1 million. Brandon's favorite player of all time, like number one player. He's got his jersey. He's got a bobblehead. He's got a Funko Pop. He's got whatever you can think of. He's got it. Defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk.
Oh, there he is.
Signed a 3-year deal with Anaheim worth a total of $11.7 million.
You're going to regret that.
Jesus. Calgary signed a goalie, Jacob Markstrom, or is it Jakob Markstrom? I think it's Jacob. 6 years, $36 million. People in Vancouver were a little upset by that. I actually think they had a... I don't think you want to sign him for that long because you have Demko. Toronto signed defenseman TJ Brody to 4 years, $20 million. Forward Nick Cousins got a 2-year, $3 million deal from Nashville. St. Louis went big and signed defenseman Torrey Krug to a 7-year, $45.5 million deal. Calgary signed forward Chris Tanev, 4 years, $18 million. New Jersey, we got goalies going all over the place. Everyone's it's goalie rotation. They signed goalie Corey Crawford, 2 years, $7.8 million. Former Capital, Andre Burakovsky, signed a two-year, $9.8 million new deal with Colorado.
Oh, wow. I thought I missed something. I thought he went somewhere else for a second.
No, he was restricted.
Okay.
I believe he was restricted. I don't think he was going anywhere necessarily. But that was, I mean, that's, I know some Caps fans are like, oh, I wish we still had him. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, he's doing really well in Colorado. It just, it I don't know. Like, he just needed a new
sometimes
place.
Players need new,
new scenery.
Thank you. Yeah, that's something like that. That's the word I was looking for. Anyways, forward Craig Smith signed with Boston, 3 years, $3.1 million. Defenseman Tyson Barrie signed with Edmonton, 1 year, $3.75. Buffalo signed forward Cody Eakin, 2 years, $4.5. Dallas signed Roddick Foxa to 5 years, $16.25. Chicago signed forward Matthias Janmark to a 1 year, $2.25. Tyler Toffoli left Vancouver. He's off to Montreal, 4 years, $17 million. Former Devils goalie Corey Schneider, 1 year, $700,000 with the Islanders.
He's still around?
Is that right? Wait a minute. I'm double checking. Yeah, $700,000. I guess because he's going to back up Varlamov. And finally, Patrick Marleau, who I thought had retired, he signed a one-year, $700,000 deal with San Jose. So he's going back to the Sharks. That is the free agency and trade news.
Anything else going on around the NHL?
I don't know. I honestly didn't check really all that. This is kind of the big thing going on. No one really knows what's going to happen. I know you had sent me the note about the possibility of starting the season with an outdoor game in Lake Louise.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That would be interesting to say that.
So apparently I have some sort of ability to see the future, because this is like now the third or fourth time I've said something on the podcast, and then a day or two later news breaks that, you know, there's actually talk about it. But the NHL is talking about if they still can do the January 1 start date and they still want to do an outdoor game, that they want to start the season in Alberta on Lake Louise. So that could be huge. I mean, looking at some of the pictures from Lake Louise, I mean, absolutely beautiful. You think winter, this is probably what you're picturing in your head. This would be a great start to the season, I think. I mean, you can't have fans, so why not have some, you know, snow-covered trees, snow-capped mountains in the background instead? It looks beautiful, and I'd love to see them do it this way. I think this would be a great way to start the season. But there are so many different factors still going on. I mean, let's hope they can even hit that January 1 date. Apparently the NHL is looking at either 48 games, 60 games, or the normal 82 games. That's what they're most hopeful for. And again, they have a hard out because the Tokyo Summer Olympics start July 23rd. So you really can't go past.
I don't see how they're going to get 82 games in.
I don't either. I think 48 is probably the best you're going to be able to do, because, I mean, it's very... How do you plan for something like this? We're in a pandemic. Things change daily. So there's no way of knowing what to do. But if they can pull it off, they pulled off the bubble and it worked. If they can pull off a game on Lake Louise and start the season January 1, go for it. Absolutely do it. But I don't know how you're going to do it.
I don't know. I don't know how you're doing 82 games. I could see 60. That's about it.
And the 48 after the lockout, I got to admit, I really enjoyed them because the games meant more. The very few times players were able to take a night off like we have seen in the past.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, do you do the thing where you go almost sort of old school Major League Baseball and just the East plays the East, the West plays the West, and then the top teams from each play in the finals?
Yeah.
You know, you could do something like that. It makes it easier for the bubbles.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I think this next season is just going to be weird.
So is that it? Is that our show?
I think that is all. That is. I don't even remember what my saying is supposed to be at this point. It's been so long since we've done it. But that's the news from the past months. I don't even know how long. In the NHL.
All right. Well, if you guys would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things when things actually happen, which I feel like it's going to be a little while before they make another move, which of course means they'll do something tomorrow with the way things go. But yeah, that's fine to me. I'll also talk about this other thing, talking about Arsenal Football Club, and you know, the Bills got blown out last night. Man, that was a bad game. Also talking about other sports related things on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you have enjoyed the show, if you've enjoyed our rambling and my incorrect facts about Andre Burakovsky, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we will post when new shows are coming up, as well as all sorts of other interesting things related to the Washington Capitals. Like Brandon, you posted the video that Tom Wilson made for Holpe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's something in my eye.
He's got some decent video editing skills. I was quite impressed.
Well, let's not go that far. But
considering what you would expect out of someone who probably has never really taken a video class, I would assume in the past, I will give him some credit for being able to work iMovie. I mean, that's my guess. But yeah, that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they have enjoyed this show and they want to hear anything else that you might be working on, well, where should they go?
That's right. You can go over and go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about this podcast or my other podcast, The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where me and my buddy Josh discuss the Ravens games. We just put up an episode this week that we covered the Bengals game and got prepared for the Eagles game. It's actually kind of interesting that on Sunday, the Ravens will be playing the Eagles, and it'll be the first time that they are in front of actual live fans this season. So it'll be a lot of rookies' first shot at an NHL crowd. And everybody knows in Philadelphia, they've got some pretty boisterous fans, so it'll be quite the experience for those guys. But if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, check out The Call wherever you listen to this podcast. Again, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social. On the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's probably it for a little while. I mean, whenever news breaks, we'll be back to talk about it. But as for right now, we don't know when the next show is going to be. So make sure you're going over to Facebook. Make sure you're checking us out there, and hopefully we'll find out some news about the next season or maybe a new signing or two, and we'll be back. But Coach Dan, anything you want to add until our next show?
Wash your hands. You know, there's plenty of hand sanitizer at stores now. And wear a mask. It's not hard. And it doesn't hurt you. It gets a little uncomfortable. You know, a little itchy. I always find that my nose itches more when I wear a mask. Do you find that?
Yeah, that's pretty noticeable, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is... you know what? This mask thing is actually nonsense. It's all a scheme by the nose... nasal spray companies. That's what. No, I'm just kidding. Wear a freaking mask. It's not hard. It doesn't hurt you. It does not cause. And I mean, unless you have like breathing issues, and legitimately you shouldn't be wearing one. But that's different. You know.
But you could buy a face shield.
Yeah, I have one in my office because I'm the backup nurse. But it's not hard. Be nice to each other. You have to go out of your way to be mean. So just don't do it.
That's true. Be nice to each other. Be kind. And hopefully we will be talking to you guys again soon. So until then, everybody say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com. We'll be right back.